This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the wharf ahead of the Nats gala tonight. Red carpet's about to be rolled out as the rain seems to be leaving the area. We are getting excited to talk to some of our favorite Nats guests as they make their way into the wharf. Everyone gets all dolled up. Looks amazing.
Yep.
It's like Oscars night, the loved ones with them. Excited to be walking a red carpet. It's a fun little event.
As Washington prepares this offseason to protect its star QB, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad, can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Alex Ovechkin is 7 goals away from immortality at this point as he hunts down Wayne Gretzky in the Great Chase. He needs 6 to tie him. He needs 7 to get to 42 for the season to break the record. A quick look at the cap schedule, Danny. They play Winnipeg in what is a pretty significant game. On the road tomorrow night, north of the border, 8 o'clock puck drop east time. And then they're at Minnesota, and they're playing Nashville at home later this month. Then into April, with those 3 games left in March, they've still got another 9 games to play next month, a dozen total. 3 of their final 9 games, though, in April are at home. That's it. So the chances of him breaking the record are at home, dwindling as we speak. But now you're starting to get up against it a little bit in terms of how many goals he needs and how many games he's got left. 7 to break the record, 12 games left. I've thought all season long that he was going to do it, and I will still bet on him doing it. But this is the first time, I would say, where we're starting to get to a point where he might need a 2-goal game.
Yeah.
And that happens like this, right? It's a goal in the first period tomorrow night in Winnipeg, and then an empty netter or something, and they win 3-2. Or he scores a couple even-strength goals in a 4-1 win, and now he only needs 5, and they got 11 games left, and we're right back to saying there's no way he's not going to do it. But I think if he were to go a game or two right now without scoring, and he'd still need 7, and all of a sudden you got 10 games left, now there's a real chance we might have to wait till the start of next year.
There totally is. And you kind of go when I think it was either back-to-back games or a couple games here over the last week where they scored 5-6 goals, and you're going, how did I get one? That just obviously it happens. Hockey happened as the Caps won and were scored a bunch in Florida and everywhere else. And that's such a bummer that there's no empty netter or there wasn't like a part of that huge tally. So, yeah, I mean, he's up against it. But here's what I've learned. We run out of hyperbole about him, but bet against him at your own peril. Say that he's not going to at your own peril. Like, you're going to be proven wrong 1,000,000 times over. A decade ago, I'm going, yeah, I think he's slowing down, whether it was, you know, Dale Hunter slowing him down or moving to the left wing or doing something, or moving to the right wing, rather. Enough. He's so stupid good. It's incredible what's happening and what has already happened at this point. So I'm still betting on him, to be honest with you, that he's going to do it.
So let's do some math, because I like to be as analytical as I can when we talk about these things. So he is averaging at this moment 54 games played, 35 goals scored on the season. Mm-hmm. So quick math there says he's averaging 0.65 goals per game. Then you extrapolate that out and say, okay, if he continues at his current pace this year, which has slowed a bit of late, but if he continues at that pace, which is still, by the way, one of the highest goals per game paces in his entire NHL career at 39 years old, which is unfathomable, that means he would score 7.7 goals. So he's going to score 7 more goals, between 7 and 8. that gets him the record. At his current pace, he will do it, but he'll need all those games.
Right.
And it's now down to the wire. So there was a time about a month ago, 2 weeks ago, where I was looking at the possibility of maybe in Boston on Tuesday, April 1, or the next night in Carolina and Raleigh. I've actually got plans, just in case.
Just in case.
Because that's drivable, to go to that game if he's just a couple away. I think I'm now in the clear on making a midweek Wednesday trip to Raleigh, the site of my bachelor party, where the Capitals will be playing the Hurricanes. I think I'm okay there. Now, to me, it's looking like maybe the final week of the season. We're talking about hosting Carolina on April 10th, in Columbus on the 12th. I think I heard Cakesy say he's going to that game on a Saturday afternoon.
Columbus. Cakesy.
Yeah, which is awesome. Nationally televised. Or then the final three games of the year, which would be hosting Columbus on Sunday the 13th, second night of a back-to-back. And then you've got Tuesday, Thursday on the road to end the season against the Isles or the Penguins. But I think it's coming down now to the final week. It would be a bummer, though, if we have to wait all offseason.
Yeah.
Maybe that there's some beauty in that because the build-up before the start of next year would be amazing.
Would be incredible, yeah.
But I think if he breaks the record this year and they win the Cup, he could walk into the sunset.
He could sail into the sunset, yeah.
He's got 1 year left on his contract. We know he's going to play out that year. There's been some speculation. I think he talked to a Russian reporter a few weeks ago. I remember seeing some headline that he's not going to sign another contract necessarily, so that next year could be his last year. I don't know that he's formally said that to any of the reporters here in the States or if that's gospel. But I've long thought if they win the Cup this year, which they're good enough to, and he breaks the record, we could just kind of, with the snap of a finger, have seen the end of Ovi and not even have really celebrated it or known it than just watching his chase.
Yeah, just taking it for granted. I mean, that's the part, right? I mean, you think of this, 14, 16, and then 17 three times. Those are your league leaders in the goals and how many fewer games Ovechkin has played than those guys. Leon Draisaitl's
running away. I don't know what that.
So Leon Draisaitl's played 68 games, Ovi's played 54. William Nylander's played 70 games. Ovi's played 54. 71 for the other leaders in goals scored. Ovi's only played 54, a fraction of what those guys have played. And he's tied for fifth in the NHL in goals. That's the point. All these other guys are prime players in their 20s, basically.
Is he still fifth right now?
He's
in
tied
goals?
For fifth with Sam Reinhart of Florida.
I need people to just, before we get back to the chase, the guy who has played way fewer games than everybody else at 39 years old. 35 goals.
Yep.
By the way, he's actually tied for fourth. Only Draisaitl, Nylander, and Connor have more goals than him right now. He's got 35, yeah? So he's tied with Scheifele.
Oh, Scheifele, yeah,
Scheifele,
there you go.
And Sam Reinhart, who they just played from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, this is so outrageous what he's doing.
It's patently absurd, again.
Because there are normally, like last year, Matthew scored over 60.
Mm-hmm.
This is a year, I don't think the goals in the sport are down team to team all that much. But like for whatever reason,
individual
goal scoring, the Rocket Richard's going to be a little lower.
Yeah, Draisaitl's getting 50, mid-50s, probably.
Totally.
I don't know that anyone else gets 50.
But dude, if he didn't get hurt, if he didn't break a bone in his leg, he'd be running away with the Rocket Richard.
This is.
And by the way, the record would have been broken 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many ifs. Lockouts, suspensions, a couple injuries. A family tragedy. We would have broken this thing 10 times ago, and we'd be talking about 950 is the next round number, or maybe getting to 1,000 if everything goes right. It's stupid.
So let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know what I mean by better. So if you're going to workshop that, you could do it aloud with me.
All right, here we go.
But what is better? What is the better outcome for a Caps fan? And we can pose this question on the phones as well for you guys at 800-636-1067. Is it better for him to end this thing this season and set and break the record now, and then potentially come back next year, final year of the contract, and just add to it? Or is somehow it actually more beneficial for the organization, for the fan base, to kind of let this thing breathe? Let's say he gets within two or three.
Well, he ends like one shy.
Right, and then you just have the whole build up to next season, and then who knows? Opening night, the first couple nights of the year, his first goals are the record-breaking goal. And it just adds to the final year, and we know going in, a la Bob Carpenter today, announcing this is it. Ovechkin says it's my last season of my contract. I'm going to break the goals record, obviously, because I'm two away. This will be my final year, and we get the whole year to kind of celebrate Ovi. What's better?
So this is such a hard answer, but I'm going to do my best. Whatever gets me more Ovi, I'm not ready for it to be over yet. So hypothetically speaking, let's say this year he goes on one of his patented runs where he scores 8 goals in 6 games or does something stupid, breaks the damn thing, and then decides, like, I'm tired. I'm going home. Like, and that's the end.
Because couldn't you see that?
That would I'm not ready. I need a full time to process it. I want to celebrate. I want to tune in every night and hear from Joe B and Locker about how great the guy is and you know, everything that comes with that. I don't want it to just be this unceremonious, all right, that's all for me. You guys have been great. So whatever gets me more, I'll do that. Because he's breaking this damn thing. We know that. It's just a matter of when.
I'm thinking about this as how do I get the most things that I want on that night? Right now, there's a really good chance Joe Beninati doesn't call the game because they'll be on national TV here at the end of the season way more often than they're on Monumental Sportsnet. The national networks are going to steal the games early next year, too, though. So, in other words, I don't necessarily sit here and go, well, I'd rather it be early next year because, you know, these games are on national TV. You don't think, if he's 3 goals away, that the first 6 games next year aren't all going to be exclusive to the networks?
Totally.
So I don't think you're going to have a higher, better chance to get Joe B. In fact, you probably have a better chance at Joe B. when they don't have an entire offseason to build the schedule around making sure Ovi's on a network television, right? So that would be number one. Locker being there for the call. With all due respect to Alan May, who's a buddy of mine and I've gotten to work with for many years over at Monumental and have watched hours and hours of hockey with in various, you know, rooms over there around the table. I want Locker in the booth next to Joe B. when he breaks the record, who's coming back from his heart surgery that was such a serious procedure under the knife for hours and hours and is rehabbing diligently and fighting to get back in time. It's like a race between Locker and Alex Ovechkin, essentially, right? I know Locker would be in the booth early next year. I'm not convinced he would be this year. That's a factor for me, oddly enough.
Totally.
There's just a lot of different moving parts here. There's also, as weird as it sounds, the idea of just waiting until next season with a 40-year-old and saying, even if it's only a few goals, he'll definitely do it. That's probably not responsible. Because off-season training, when you get to be 40 years old, quirky, weird things happen.
Of course.
Are we sure he doesn't tweak or pull or injure something or have some type of problem?
No, totally. And it's not, again, it's not a him reflection. It's a life reflection.
So don't you almost need to just get it as soon as you can get it?
That's another part of the discussion. I mean, I think about this. We've gotten to know so many athletes over the years, and there's so many guys that come to mind when you think about this. It's not the actual game itself. It's what you have to do to get ready for it. That changes. When you're 20, you're 21, 22, 23, whatever, it's you roll out of bed, you do all your work, you do what you're supposed to do, but you lift your weights, you stretch, you do whatever. Well, when you're 40 or getting up there with all the injuries and all the wear and tear, that, you know, you can't just pop out of bed and do it. You now have to, you do the rolling thing, you do the foam roller, you do the massage thing, you do all this other kind of stretching, you do the cupping, the deep tissue, all those other kind of crap, just to be able to go out and do what you did 10 years ago. And it's not easy. That's where the grind is. It's not playing the game. Playing the game is the fun part. That's the reward. It's the prep that it takes. And so you got to do more just to be able to do the same. And that wears on people sometimes. So we take him for granted. He's drinking soda pop on the bench or, you know, eating beef jerky, you know, between shifts, whatever the hell he does.
Beef jerky is probably the best thing he's eating.
Well, you know what I mean?
Chips.
Like, he's eating the Mama Lucia's Diablo pizza or whatever. But, like, man, it's just it's not something that we should ever – just assume is going to continue.
All right, I want your answer before we get to the phones. Better for the Caps, better for whoever, you,
yeah,
the whole situation. Break it this season, get it over with, or go into next year 2 or 3 goals away and have the whole offseason and the final year of his contract to just paint the whole thing Ovechkin.
My answer is going to be so unbelievably selfish. I just want more Ovechkin. Wait till next year. Sound like I'm not going to be celebrating like a champion, even when he scores. Like, I had something to do with it, but I want to get. I just, if there's a risk, and there's a risk to me that he hangs him up if he gets it this year, and he just says, "I'm tired. Thank you for everything." I want a celebration. I want every night to be Alex Ovechkin goal from his back night, Alex Ovechkin office night. I want Alex Ovechkin grimy goal night. I want transition Alex Ovechkin on Odd Man Rush's night. I want celebrating the best athlete in D.C. history night after night after night for a whole year. I'm not ready just to say goodbye, and I worry that he would say goodbye if he breaks it.
I think you'll get that regardless, but there is a chance that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he breaks the record and they win the cup, why come back for the final year at 40? I guess you could just say that he loves it. Why wouldn't you pad this, the goal total between you and everybody else, right? That's all part of it. 800-636-1067 is the number you want to hop in. I'm going to make this real short and sweet. I need this record, man. Me personally.
Do you do?
I've been working so hard. I put in the hours in the gym. I have grinded. I need this record, and I need it now. Like I need oxygen.
Mm.
Can't wait. Now, Ovi has also, in fairness, I want to be very clear about this. Let me be clear. Barack Obama style. He has also done some of the work, and I give him some credit for that.
He just, you know what? That's actually big of you.
And I want him to share into my record.
That's big of you.
I want to share part of my record with Ovi.
He deserves some of the credit, I think. Is that fair to say? You'd say that?
Now, this season, the culmination of his unbelievable year and the culmination of what has been a incredible season for Caps fans. Like, this has been so fun and so unexpected and so wonderful. Let's go to the phones. Danny is in Northwest, wants to hop in on G&D. Danny, 12 games left, 7 goals from immortality.
Thanks for taking my call.
What do you think? Do you want him to do it? Or next year better?
Yeah, I think he will. And you know what? He'd have it already if he hadn't missed 5 weeks with that broken tib.
Totally.
But the thing that gets me the most, and it happened when he had to go home because his father passed away, and a couple of the other times where he's been injured long term, the team has not really missed a beat. And I think Carberry's done an incredible job with these guys this year.
Oh, come on. I mean, he's the Jack Adams Award winner, and I don't know that it's particularly close. Thank you. Now, for people that don't know, that's the Coach of the Year Award in the National Hockey League. But Spencer Carberry's a star. I believe he'll be coaching Team Canada in a few years nationally. And we're talking about that caliber of coach in this league. He is a commodity. He is someone who I believe, like Jaden Daniels, maybe not to the same extent, but makes you a destination. I think he is a coach that players around the league will want to play for as guys like Pierre-Luc Dubois recapture their career here, as players like Connor McMichael and Alexi Protas become stars under his watch. There's a lot of veteran coaches in this league where young guys don't excel. There's an old guard in the NHL. We saw it, actually, with the previous regime, if we're being honest. Peter Laviolette.
Yeah.
I want my veterans. I want my grizzled guys. I don't trust the kids. I'm not giving them the minutes. Spencer Carberry, because of his minor league background at Hershey and bouncing around, I think really does have an ability to whisper with those developing young ascending players.
Yeah, do you have any data points on that? Like, is there anybody had a huge breakout year this year?
So I just believe that they have, and they get credit for this. I don't think they hit the lottery randomly. They knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They had him in their employ before he left to go to Toronto to be their power play coach. But they have struck gold with this guy. And he is as good a coach as we've had in this city in a long, long time in any sport. But part of why the Alexi Protas renaissance, or I guess you can't call it a rebirth, his breakout has happened, why McMichael has become what was promised, those guys becoming legitimate stars this year, it's not just Carbs.
No.
It's the whole staff. Mm-hmm. They have a great staff. And by the way, it's going to be picked apart. They're going to lose at least one, maybe two guys this year, and I would bet at least one, if not two of them, become head coaches in the NHL. It's that good of a staff. But Carbs is the head of the snake, clearly. But the whole thing, man, the way they've lined it up right now with Ovi on the top line skating and now that second line, which has been automatic since day one this season with McMichael, Luc Dubois, and Wilson, the bottom six and the speed they added with Anthony Beauvillier. I mean, how fast is that guy?
Lightning.
This team is cup good. And Ovi's goal chase is just kind of folding into what is a larger storyline here, which is that this team is coming down the stretch of a year where they might finish number one in the NHL and go into the playoffs, one of the favorites to get to a Stanley Cup.
And, Jeeps, I beat the drum on this a little bit. It wouldn't feel as meaningful to me. It'd still be amazing because it's still just a stupid record that it's even a possibility. He's got a chance to walk down Gretzky. But the idea that if they just kind of kept doing what they've been doing, veteran group, fringe playoff team, you know, like the maybe we get the 8 seed, cannon fodder in the first round for a team that's a legit contender, it wouldn't have felt as meaningful. But now he's scoring meaningful goals in meaningful games for a team that's a Stanley Cup contender. Like, that's awesome. Like, that's what's the extra layer of, what are you going to say now,
yeah,
jackass?
Let's go too deep with the questions here on the phones. Number one, do you think he breaks the record this year? Which you and I didn't really answer, so we'll do that when we return. And number two is it better, however you want to define that, if he just gets it over with and breaks it before the end of the season? Or would it actually be additive to the overall experience if he's a couple goals away and at the start of next year with the final year of his contract and maybe his time with the Caps, he breaks the record? 800-636-1067 if you want to join us. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. We are on the wharf getting ready for the Nats Gala tonight live on The Fan.
Across to Van Riemsdyk, chipped by Ovechkin, low here to Dubois. And Van Riemsdyk gets the shot through, rebound, he scores! Alex Ovechkin on the rebound! Airshin went down! It's 8-88 for the Great Eights with 5:35 to go in the first. It's 1-0 Washington!
Live at the Wharf ahead of the Nats Gala. Grant and Danny on The Fan. That was John Walton on the call of goal 888 for Alex Ovechkin, who is closing in on Wayne Gretzky. The all-time record for goals in the National Hockey League is 894. He is 6 away from tying. He is 7 away from breaking the record. And there are only 12 games to go this season. So, Danny, call your shot. Does he break the record this year?
Yeah. Yeah. This... I'm now going to do a thing where if I'm wrong, I'm going to be wrong betting on Ovechkin. That's what's going to happen. So if I'm wrong, it'll be because I thought he was going to do something that he ultimately didn't do. I'm never going the other way again. I've done that 5, 6, 7 times. Not to disrespect him or knock something, but just say, hey, here's what happens to human beings. They slow down sometimes. Here's what happens to people. Their goal-scoring pace should dissipate over their career. It happened to everybody that's ever been any good in the NHL. Here's what should happen. Here's what's probably going to happen. And it didn't. And the exact opposite. He thrived again. You know, remember a handful of years ago when he was in the mid-30s in goals, or last year the first half where nothing was right and he had like 5 goals in the first 40 games, whatever the hell the numbers were? You're going, okay, here it is. I will never, ever bet against that dude again.
So I am starting to get a sneaking suspicion that he won't. I know he will, but I'm going to go opposite you. I could just see that other things become more significant here. And I don't mean that the record is not critical. Guys are going to be looking for him anytime there's an empty net, obviously. If there's a 2-on-1, you better believe that his teammates giving him that shot on a rush, like with a top
line. Saucer pass, please.
Absolutely. Those things will be happening. He's going to score from his office a couple times. So I think he probably will. But the way things have slowed down here, and now you're looking at the big picture with 12 games to play, they also have to think about being as healthy as possible to start their playoff series. How are they going to differentiate a game this week versus the final couple of games of the year in terms of minutes for him? If he's 2 goals away, do you really want to have everyone playing max effort and doing all the things that you'd be doing, say, if you were fighting to get into the playoffs, or do you scale it back a little bit to prioritize the best version of yourself in game one? All that starts to come into play because the record is and will always be massive. I actually said at the beginning of the year I cared more about the record than team success this year. I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, now I've got some team success. I'm going, oh, man.
I mean, the record is huge to me. I said it earlier. It means so much. Mm-hmm. But this team legitimately could win a Stanley Cup. They need to keep everyone healthy and get into the start of the postseason and try to see if Logan Thompson can get hot and see where it takes them. Let's go to the phones and see what you guys think. We'll start with Alex in Atlanta, listening on the Odyssey app. So, Alex, 2 questions. Do you think he breaks the record this year, and what would be better if he did it this year or if he's just a couple away to start next year and you got to get the whole offseason to ramp up to it?
So, hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I do think he breaks it this year. I've been watching the guy since his very – I was a season ticket holder for 20 years and was at his first game, watched him his whole career. I think he does it this year. And I think it's better if he does it this year because I think next year he'll be dedicated. The pressure will be off. I think he wants to smash the record because of the whole empty – you mentioned it before, the empty net thing. You know, there are a lot of Canadian fans who, love Gretzky and think he's a Russian and put hate on him for that and the empty net goal record that he has now. I think he wants to break it with regular goals and put that empty net goal thing to rest. And, you guys mentioned earlier that, you know, there's a chance that, you know, if he breaks it this year, that he won't come back. I think the chance is a Lauren Holly and Dumb and Dumber chance, you know, one in a million. I don't think there's a chance that he does not come back and finish even if he does do it this year.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I read you.
I want to go back to his point before that, though. The empty net goal thing. It's such an over-talked about, silly, and you know this, one of my pet peeves, but ridiculous.
Not like silly.
Conversation. Because it's not based in reality. And it's one of those things where, do you want to give it the oxygen to even discuss it when it's so stupid? Or do you just say, dumb people don't get to be here right now. Grown-ups are talking. Number one, he will end up having only scored a handful more empty net goals than Wayne Gretzky. Oh, by the way, playing in an era where goals are harder to score, so every single goal he scores at even strength is a bigger, more impressive goal than Wayne Gretzky. You're playing against goaltenders now that have big pads that block the entire net, as opposed to Wayne Gretzky, who was playing against goaltenders who wore paper pads that were thinner than loose-leaf paper, playing in soccer nets, essentially. Go back and watch the highlights. The sport has changed so much. 800-636-1067. Mr. Hujay, I'm going to need you to pull up the call screening doc.
Uh-oh.
The reason is that my laptop died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's going on with the wire. Let's go to Adam, who's in Leesburg on G&D. Adam, do you think he breaks the record? And what's going to be better for you as a Caps fan, doing it this year or starting next year?
What's going on, Grand Day? How you doing, fellas?
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Well, I think it's the obvious. He's going to surpass the record this year. I mean, maybe not. I hope not. I'm kind of leaning towards Danny's synopsis, where I'm being selfish and I want him to stick around for as long as possible. We've, as DC sports fans, have never seen something like this. So it's just like, we want to keep the party going. But one thing that I did want to bring up, I mean, screw the injury that he just had this season. I feel like if we never had that lockout back in, I think it was 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he would have been done with that by now.
How about the COVID shutdown? I mean, we could keep playing that
COVID
game.
COVID shutdown, lockout.
Yeah.
I think there was a suspension in there that was bogus.
A couple of
injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it. You put it together, it would have been smashed last year.
Do we really think, because now that's three people who have mentioned the possibility, and we brought it up, that he could say goodbye. I mean, let's just play out the hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
He breaks the record by a goal, and they win the Stanley Cup. We really think, Danny, what's your level of concern at that point out of 100 that Ovechkin just calls it a career in the States and goes and plays in Russia?
25.
Okay, that's fine. But so you're saying it exists as a possibility, and that's too much for me to think
about.
And that's
too much. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to say goodbye. I mean, that is 100% of my synopsis. This is a Danny Ruye selfish fandom thing.
Well, I do need a goodbye tour. You know, the one last ride, Ray Lewis thing. You know, I said it earlier, with Bob announcing today, correctly, that he's going to be, for the final time, calling Nats games this season in year 20 with the org and year 42 in baseball. I think it's an amazing thing to do so that fans get their chance to say goodbye, because it just feels like a necessity for people that feel like they know him after inviting him into their homes
and totally
watching games that he called for two decades. And similarly for Ovi, I will need my send-off. This is not a send-off. This is a chase of Wayne Gretzky. They're two very different things.
100%. So,
and if I don't get my send-off, that would be heartbreaking.
So you remember down the stretch in 2019 when Zim would come to bat in home games. This is obviously not exactly the same, but he would get these huge ovations. Right, he would get these massive, standing O's. Have to step out of the box and tip his cap and
wipe his tears.
Yeah, at one point he's like, "I never said I was retiring. But it was just in case." So Nats fans were able to do it, like, kind of just in case, because it was like all academic. They were going to the postseason, and kind of everybody knew what we knew. And it was a lot of fun, right?
But he didn't hate it that much.
Well, I wouldn't say he hated it at all, but he was sort of like.
But I mean, if you're getting that treatment, you're like, even if you don't think you're retiring, you're like, this is kind of nice. I'll milk this a little bit.
You know, I can go 1-for-4 and everyone getting a standing O. Yeah, but we're not even getting to do that because each of these games has so much meaning, and they're going for a President's Trophy. They got the cup contention, plus the goals. I mean, the whole thing that's happening, it's too dizzying. Like, it's not like baseball where it's like, now here's a moment where Alex Ovechkin is on the ice. It's a shift. He's over the boards. You can't just do a standing O then. But when it's now batting Ryan Zimmerman, everybody has time, and you got the intro music. You could do what you do. This is like, as you said, this is not a farewell tour. I need one.
So do we agree, though, with this premise? The best-case scenario for all things considered, breaks the record this year, they win the cup, and then he announces at the parade, I'm coming back for one last ride, playing out my final season.
That's the idea.
Then he goes and scores another 39 goals, gives himself a little cushion. By the way, at that point, to the caller a couple of rings ago, who said he basically wants him to have more goals over Gretzky than empty net goals in his career. You know, or the gap in empty net goals. Mm-hmm. So if he's plus 9 empty net goals over Gretzky, but he scored 41 more goals than him or something, no one can say anything.
Right. So,
you get everything that you want.
Yeah, for the sake of argument, if he finishes this year with 895 and then walks away because I beat him, I got him, and that's it, then you get the
number of empty net goals and the number of power play goals and the blah, blah, blah,
all the nonsense. Of course, that should be disproven by adults, but isn't, because that's what these dumb narratives are. Well, what if he finishes with 960? What are you going to say now? Like, do you have a retort? You know?
This is where me being a pain in the butt gets in my way. I am such a you-don't-get-a-seat-at-the-table guy in this regard that I don't even want to consider, like, thinking about this to appease the person that I don't think should get a seat.
Okay.
But I totally get what you're saying. Right now, in case you guys are curious, all time, Ovi has 65 empty net goals. Gretzky has 56. Oh, Gretzky, by the way, played in 7 more games, but right around same number of games played for their careers, which is interesting. But he's plus 9 in empty net goals, which I guess if you want to make that a thing, go for it. That's your prerogative. Again, every single goal Alex Ovechkin scores is harder than what Wayne Gretzky was doing because of the era, and it's very easy. It's just math. You can look at goals per game. I mean, there have been years where the combined two teams in a game average in Ovechkin's era was equal to what one team was doing.
What one team was scoring.
In Gretzky's era. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Andrew in Warrington. A, do you think he breaks the record this year? B, what's better, doing it now or doing it at the very start of next year and having the entire hiatus to build up to it?
Oh, I'm going to build you a scene that you can have in your mind for the first question. It's the last game of the season. He has 2 left to go. Who are we playing? Pittsburgh. It would just be perfect for him to do it right there. It would just be the best.
In Pittsburgh with a hat.
You have to want that. Exactly. Then he comes back because we've gone for a deep run. Maybe he's already swam in another fountain. He comes back, and then it's the changing the guard. We have another Protas coming. We have Ryan Leonard coming. We have so many of the next generation. He gets to do the same thing that Ryan Clark and the .com Caps got to do for him. He gets to do for them as they go on for another ride. And then he gets his same run as Marc-Andre Fleury got this year, where he gets to go to every stadium and he gets his flowers.
He's getting
that
a present,
has to
literally
be the way it's done.
Yeah, Andrew, thank you.
Yes.
Who was it? Was it
I'd
Cal?
Like to sign up for that, please.
I'm thinking Cal Ripken Jr., Mariano Rivera, this happened to, where every ballpark he went to, like he was that important to the sport that each team gave him a present. You go somewhere and it's like, here's your rocking chair of the broken bats that you broke. Here's your golf club. Here's your motorcycle. Like everywhere he went, Cal got a present or Mo got a present. Ovi could be that guy.
That's what I want. I want that. I need every place to appropriately appreciate, hey, this is the greatest goal scorer ever to live. And there's no doubt. There's no yeah, but. It's just that's the end. Everyone has to shut up and clap hard.
Can you imagine? I have chills right now.
Yes.
What a picture my guy just painted. It's April 17th. It's the final game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Ovi needs 2 going in. He's not breaking it this year. It's unfortunate. Scores 3 minutes into the game. Dirty goal. In front of the cage, bangs it home, kisses the, you know, does the kiss of the glove, and jumps into the glass.
And we'll see who they give credit to. Ovechkin raising his hand. He thinks it's him. And we'll see what the scorer says. Oh, Ovechkin.
Second period power play. Ovi from his office. He's got 2. He's tied Gretzky.
Yeah, he has.
And now, you can't do it on an empty net, obviously. But third period, 3-3 game, 2-on-1 rush with Dylan
Stromer
feeds him, goes top shelf, backhand.
Yeah.
And Alex Ovechkin with a hat trick as hats are streaming down to the ice against the awful Penguins. So it's nothing but Caps fans in Pittsburgh all making the trip.
Yuns and Yins leaving.
For the chance to maybe see history, see Ovi do it against the Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
Good God.
Oh, yeah.
Lock my bathroom door and turn off the lights.
Let me drink that in.
Let's do this thing forever. 800-636-1067. You want to talk Ovi with us. We'll also get you a double play. Remember, top of the hour, we've got those tickets to the D.C. Defenders home opener. Tremendous atmosphere over at Audi Field. You're listening to The Fan.
Double play time? Can anyone hear me? No one hears Grant. Oh, now that one's working. There we go. Little fire drill.
This felt like when they put the cups up on the big board at a game and there's like a little ping pong ball under it. Toby and I both have our headsets here, so yep. I put one of them on. They look the exact same.
Well, you tried them both. They didn't work.
I talked into it. I was like, okay, this is Toby's. And I put the other one on, and I talked into it, and it still didn't work. So I said, this is Toby's. But eventually we figured it out.
Yeah, we're here. Just doing the show.
Working microphone.
Just
everything's fine.
Microphone glass.
Radio professionals in Market 7. That's all we are. Killing it.
Here we go.
Grant and Danny, your pals ahead of the Nats Gala tonight. Gala. What are
gala.
We doing?
Gala.
We're going Gala.
Yeah.
I think Gala's right. I always feel like Gala's also acceptable, but I think Gala's the answer.
I know that I've said both. Like your parents, they have a sibling, right? If your dad has a sister, that's your...
That is your aunt.
See, I've done aunt.
Well, I definitely do aunt.
I've also aunted.
Yeah.
I never know what I'm going to do each. It's a surprise to me every time I say it.
Okay. But if your dad has a brother, he is your?
Uncle.
And also? Uncle. You've done both.
No, I've never done uncle.
You've never done uncle?
No, but Dieter does uncle. You know the uncles?
Dieter's uncle's my favorite, actually.
Yeah, Dieter, my uncle Helmut.
What's that character's name?
Well, there's two Helmuts in my life. But Helmut is, you know, my very good close friend. And
does he sound like Dieter? I would imagine it's a little more like gravelly, and he's seen some stuff,
well,
this guy.
The Helmut character is more, you know, austere in his delivery.
Right.
He's bored with everything you're saying.
We'll get you a double play on G&D in a moment. Let's wrap up our OV calls. Kevin's in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. Kevin, does he get it done? He needs 7 goals in 12 games.
Yeah, he's going to pull it off this year because he's got to reward all these fans that are paying 4 times ticket prices to go to this game at the end of the year. They need to use this momentum, get the goals, break the record this year, go into the playoffs hot, and then next year, go for the hits. You know, there's going to be something else to do next year. We can celebrate it all. I just enjoy the momentum, enjoy the fact that he's going to break it and go for the cup instead of, we never know what next year is. The team can change. Things can be different. Use the magic. Let's make it happen.
Appreciate you, buddy. He's bringing up the price of tickets. So my brother-in-law actually has a little bit of a developing situation.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a Caps fan. I wouldn't say that he's, you know, a guy that would be a season ticket holder or anything like that. But he enjoys the Caps. He goes to games with me when he's in town. He lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. He's got tickets that he got about a month or two ago, not really related to the OV Quest, but because when the Caps come to to Raleigh, he tries to go. He got 2 tickets lower level. He got the tickets at a super reasonable rate when he bought them in Raleigh.
Uh-huh.
As you can imagine, Hurricanes fans are not thinking like we're thinking about the OV chase. Well, now as they're getting closer, these tickets right now are at $300-$400.
Yeah.
He paid, I think, a little under or around $100 for them. And I asked him, I said, is there any chance you end up selling those if he's a goal or two away and you might see him break the record? What a developing situation. He basically said, if I could get to a point where I make $1,000.
I think you do it.
On each ticket. He's like, I don't think I could not go. Now, this is not me doing a measuring contest of fandom with him. I could not do that. It would just mean too much.
Well, especially if you already had him for a really good price.
I think that's right. But also just generally, being in the building the night Ovi breaks the record would be one of the great sports moments of my entire life, however long I get to live. When it's all said and done, it's probably going to be on a podium. I don't know. Well, it would be great for him. I don't know if it would have the same exact feel. And you bought him for 100-ish. And now let's say you could make 1,000 for each ticket and you get a couple G's. His point is, I think it'd be irresponsible for me not to do that.
Yeah, it's the greatest investment of all time, right? I mean, so there are two types of people, and I really believe this, when it comes to that. One of my best friends is this way. When we would go to Atlantic City, right, and we're at the table gambling, all I want to do is play minimum blackjack hands and grind it out for 20 hours until I can't keep my eyes open anymore. He can't do it that way. Because in his mind, every time that he bet $15, table minimum, and won, he wasn't winning $15. He was losing whatever, 500 times 2, the table maximum is. So the 900 and or whatever. He was losing $500, right, in his mind. And so there's two ways to think about that, right? It's the, if I turn a profit, which is I get to see this amazing experience for dirt cheap, you can live with that. You go, that was a great investment. That was great value. But if you're one of those people that thinks about, I turned away, I didn't get $1,800, total net, 18x on my investment, then I lost that money. Like, even though you never actually had it.
I'm just looking at prices right now for just a random late season game. So April 10th, as an example, the Hurricanes are coming to Capital One Arena. In the 400 level, those tickets before any fees or anything, secondary market, are now over $200 per. So you're talking about with fees, you want a couple hundred seats, it's going to be $500. If you want to go sit down low, you're paying several hundred dollars.
Can you hover over the seats that you get?
I can't right now. I'm not doing a bit. It's because I can't do anything on the
internet
right
now. Oh, it's all grayed out, yeah.
I'd love to be able to help you.
It's Deion Greyjoy.
What my computer's giving me is what I can see. So here's what I'm looking at. Ready? Section 121. So it's like defensive end of the ice for the Capitals. They're only going to be shooting in the second period. $461 per ticket.
Oh, man.
For that game right now. 461. As we get closer, and as he gets closer,
it's not going down.
That's a $1,000 ticket.
Yeah, it is.
That will be. When is the last time, regular season, has it ever happened that a ticket in this town has gone for that much money? I'll bet you never in any sport. Regular season game, $1,000 per?
Redskins Cowboys?
No way.
2012? You don't think it did?
No chance. 1,000?
No, 1,000's a lot.
For lower level? Yeah. That's crazy money.
Mm-hmm.
JR in Boston, you get the last word. Be quick. What's up?
Hey, honestly, I don't think it really matters. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't think it really matters at all. Like, I'm a huge Obi fan, everything else. What really matters is that he gets every scoring record as possible. I care that he hits 40. I'm pissed that he didn't get 50 because of the broken leg. I'm pissed not just because of the half year from remember 2012, but don't forget, he didn't even have his rookie season. That season didn't even happen. Remember, he and Sidney both were the first-round picks. They both started the same year and whatnot. So, and I don't even give a crap about Jeanette Gold because he missed, a season and a half? I care about 900. By the way, your scenario, there's no way he doesn't come back if they beat him by one. He will be back the next year. Even if they win the Stanley Cup, he gets 8, 95. He wants to break 900. To be the only one in 900 is huge instead of one of three. Like, what really matters is I care, and I admit I'm a silly Obi fan, that he gets as many records as possible for scoring that shuts up everyone, especially north of the border.
Yeah, just pour it on.
This is what I want. What you're saying is what I want. You're like, it's, if I had a newsletter, it sounds like you read it.
Great call. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. NFL quarterback carousel is spinning a little longer than it normally does. We're waiting for a couple of veterans to sit down in seats. Where will they end up? We'll get into that as we continue on Grant and Danny Live ahead of the Nats Gala alongside what is going to be their red carpet event tonight on The Fan.